And House Democrats today made a choice to keep Nancy Pelosi of California as their leader. She beat back a challenge from Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio to be the minority leader in the House. The final vote tally was 134 for Pelosi, 63 for Ryan. Here's Representative Marcia Fudge at a press briefing earlier this afternoon. Fudge was supporting Ryan.
One third of the members of this caucus had the courage to come out and say we needed a change. And I congratulate all of them. And for those who voted for our leader, I think that's great. I think she's a wonderful leader. But what I do know is when I go home, people are going to ask me, what did you do to make this better? Doing nothing doesn't make it better. But today, we won because they hear us.
Well, joining us now is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Jeremy.
And Nancy Pelosi had said before the vote that she had the support of two-thirds of her colleagues. She almost hit that number exactly. But 63 Democrats voting against her, it's not a small number. What does it tell you about the state of the Democratic Party?
She exceeded her two-thirds target just by a little bit, but she was probably building in a little bit of leeway when she set that target. It's not a bad number, though. 63 votes for Tim Ryan. No one thought he had any realistic chance of winning. So you've got a third of the people who are willing to step out and say, time for a change. That is a clear signal to Nancy Pelosi. She needs to see that the time is coming and perhaps is quite near at hand. So let's say 2018, if they don't gain back enough seats to be in the majority, no one expects that. The map doesn't really permit it. It's not practical. So at that point, perhaps she does make some sort of an arrangement to limit her time as speaker. But look, the last time anybody tried to challenge her was 6 years ago after they lost control of the House in the 2010 elections. That was Heath Shuler, then a congressman from North Carolina. He only got 43 votes. So Tim Ryan is making a statement here. A lot of people expect him to move on, run for statewide office in Ohio. Some people even saying all this was just about giving higher profile to Tim Ryan to boost his prospects there in Ohio to be their next governor.
Well, what is the case that she makes for herself as why she is a good leader for the Democratic Party, even after so many election losses over the last few cycles?
That's right. Well, she is still seen as smart and tough. She is certainly experienced at holding together a highly diverse caucus. She represents the new Democratic caucus in the sense that that caucus consists primarily of people who are not white males, women, minorities, people who are both. And let's put in one more thing for Nancy Pelosi. She is a world-class fundraiser. She has really taken it to another level. Over the years she has been in the House leadership, she has raised over $500 million for Democratic committees at all levels, $100 million in each of the last two election cycles. So losing elections, yes, but filling the coffers also.
Ron, of course, we're also watching the news from the Trump transition team. He says he has cut a deal with United Technologies to keep 1,000 jobs at Carrier that would have moved to Mexico. Let's listen here to Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin talking on CNBC about that deal.
You can see that this started because the president-elect called up the CEO of United Technologies and said it's important to keep jobs here.
Do we know any of the specifics of this deal?
We know that the state of Indiana has made non-specified commitments to Carrier to help them make this make sense for them at the bottom line. Now, let's say about a half of the jobs that Carrier was going to move to Mexico are going to stay. They have committed to something like almost 1,000 of the previously announced 2,000. So we'll see how many jobs actually do move. But it's a lovely piece of PR triumph for the Trump-Pence ticket because Pence is, after all, the governor of Indiana.
Right.
So he can still make representations on behalf of his state to the company. It's said to cost them about $65 million to keep these 1,000 jobs in Indiana. $65 million is not an awful lot when you're talking about state incentives. And it's also remember that of the $56 billion that United Technologies, the parent company of Carrier, has in its annual revenue, about a tenth of that, $5.6 billion, comes from the federal government. So doing something to please the new head of the federal government is probably not bad business for United Technologies and Carrier.
Well, that's the big question, too, is the president-elect going to do this with every company that threatens to take jobs out of the country? Are we going to be able to afford to, you know, offer those kinds of incentives every time?
Well, he only has one vice president, so he only has Mike Pence to do this for companies in Indiana. But surely he will get on the telephone. He has done this with Ford. He has done this with other people. And then he immediately takes credit for whatever decision is made thereafter, whatever the actual incentives may be for that decision. But he will certainly try to jawbone, as we used to say. We used to talk about presidents calling up corporate leaders and trying to jawbone with them to persuade them to lower prices on steel or to lower prices on other basic commodities. We haven't seen too much of that in recent years. If Democrats try to do it, they're usually told that they shouldn't interfere with the operation of the free market. But this is a president who's going to be hands-on, and we'll see if we have a lot of carriers or if this particular situation is unique.
And Ron, in just the minute we have left, when people hear headlines today about Donald Trump saying that he is going to take himself out of business operations of the Trump Organization completely, that's something he tweeted today, is that for real?
It's a little hard to imagine Walt Disney taking himself out of the entire Disneyland and Disney World operation. Sometimes a name is just synonymous with a business. So if he does sign documents, as he says he is going to do, that take him out completely from his business, does that mean then it's run by his children? Would that be a blind trust for Donald Trump? This is new territory. We're going to have to see what the documents say. We're going to have to see what legal experts say. And we're going to have to ultimately ask the people, are you satisfied with the degree to which the president is separating himself from his business?
That's NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jim.